As often happens in Hennepin County Juvenile Court, the judge is running late, today an hour and a half. Janet, a shorter woman with a round face, little makeup, and light brown hair, says she can wait a bit longer before she goes before the judge. Janet has waited nearly 4 years for this day. Judge Pam Alexander tells her she's done well. Today, Janet's two children are hers free and clear. She no longer has to undergo random drug tests or answer to anyone about how she raises her two children. Janet's reaction.
It's a relief to not be supervised anymore, I guess. But I think the biggest piece is that had it not been for their intervention, I wouldn't be where I am today. I'm nervous about the not the direct interaction with them, but I do have access to the people I've worked with, so all I have to do is pick up the phone if I'm banging my head against the wall.
Looking at Janet's history, one might wonder how she could ever become a fit mother by anyone's standards. She used drugs. She chose her abusive boyfriends over her children, and she worked as a prostitute. Janet's own childhood was marked by years of sexual abuse by her father, who had sexual intercourse with her between the ages of 12 and 15. By 1995, Hennepin County had permanently removed five of Janet's children and placed them for adoption. After her arrest in a drug raid, the county planned to permanently remove her two remaining children.
I think the biggest thing I learned, though, is that everybody needs help. And that I don't have to be afraid to ask for it. There's a cartoon character I always think about as She-Ra, who can handle it all, or, you know, and because the reality is I can't handle it all, not all by myself.
Janet had a very hard uphill battle, because she had to change a lifestyle that she had been embroiled in her entire life.
Hennepin County Juvenile Judge Pam Alexander.
She had to make some very hard choices. They were not easy choices for her because she knew no different. So we ended up having to teach her something that was different. She was receptive to that, was motivated because she loved her children enough to try to do something different, not only for herself, but mostly, I think, motivated for her children.
That teaching came in the form of psychological therapy for Janet and her two children, chemical dependency treatment, several 12-step programs, and parenting classes. Still, Janet has had slips along the way. She disobeyed court orders to stay away from the children's abusive father, and year analysis showed she had used cocaine. Maya Tester, the county prosecutor in Janet's case, says if she could, she would keep Janet's case open until the youngest child becomes an adult. But Tester also says Janet has made great progress and has, for the most part, followed the county's rules for the past year and a half.
She's maintained sobriety. She now has a job. She's acknowledging kind of the second layer of issues, which in her case was the incest, and is starting to deal with some of those issues in therapy. She's very bonded to her kids. Her kids are bonded to her. She's doing well. She had one positive UA. Is that enough? Is it in those children's best interest to set all of the progress that she's made aside and the future that they might have with her? I don't think any judge would have terminated her parental rights because of that one UA.
Judge Alexander says it's easy for the public to judge Janet and parents like her solely on their past, but that's unrealistic. Alexander says termination is not always the right solution.
To be taken away from a parent is synonymous to a death. It's also quite easy for people to say, just terminate her parental rights and give her to someone else. Well, the problem is that we don't have a whole lot of someone else's out there. And even though that might be a noble goal, there are not people lining up to adopt cocaine-addicted babies. And there are not people who are lining up saying, let's have these children who maybe have their own difficulties in my family. So our best bet is to try to rehabilitate the family that they already have. And in some cases it's quite successful, like Janet's. In other cases it may not be. However, we should at least give them an opportunity to try.
Social workers say Janet's children are doing well in school. Both are earning good grades and have served on their student council. While her two children are at school, Janet drives a van for special needs children.
26 is back in the van.
She says she enjoys the work, but worries how she'll get along once her medical assistance benefits run out in July. The transportation company does not offer health or vacation benefits. The emotional hurdles in front of Janet are still huge. She says she's preparing for the day when her older children will return to ask why Janet could not repair her life in time to be a mother to them. And with the children who live with her now, she must deal with the absence of their father, an abusive man who has failed to kick drugs.
I'll say, well, Mom, where's my dad? What's my dad doing? Or can we go see him? And right now we can't do that because we're not in a good place. And I have to do what feels right and keep them safe as I can, because I don't know what frame of mind he's in at this point. And the kids get mad at me, but I just keep telling them that they'll, you know, when they're a little older, they'll understand. And they may not thank me for it, but they'll understand.
Janet has overcome drug addiction and other court-ordered hurdles to regaining custody of her two youngest children. But this year, she has set for herself the toughest challenge of all, confronting her parents with the emotional damage she suffered as a victim of incest by her father and her mother's failure to protect her. I'm Elizabeth Stawicki, Minnesota Public Radio.